Stay standing with me and go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4 this morning. We'll begin reading in verse number 18. And then we'll read all the way through verse number 25. I'll read verse number 18 and you'll join me on verse number 19. We'll alternate like that all the way through the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 18. The Bible says in Matthew 4:18, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning thankful and honestly grateful to be in church. Lord, thank you for a place that we can come. Lord, we spend our lives in a world, Lord, that ignores you and criticizes the life that you've called us to live. But Lord, we're here this morning not to just hear a truth that'll tickle our ears, but Lord, something that'll encourage us to do something for you. Lord, all of this is vain unless the Holy Spirit is present. But honestly, Lord, what we do here today is only a tip of the iceberg. It's just the beginning. Lord, what we do here will be a waste if we simply sit here and listen and learn. Lord, may we listen to what's preached with the intent not just to gain knowledge, but to leave from here and put into practice what's learned here today. Lord, we ask that your presence be here now. Fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. We'll yield ourselves to that same Holy Spirit and ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Here in Matthew chapter 4, we find Jesus. At the beginning of the chapter, he is at what we would call the Mount of Temptation. He has just spent 40 days fasting, no food, for 40 days. Then he must do battle with Satan himself. Can you imagine not eating for 40 days? Most of you couldn't go 40 hours. Some of you struggle with the next 40 minutes. But can you imagine going 40 days with no food and then having to do battle with Satan himself? Jesus was weary. He was tired. And yet he did all this, and he's beginning to go into the last 3 years of his life here on earth. We would call it, or some of you might have a reference Bible or different type of Bible, and it'll say that he's starting his earthly ministry. In other words, he's getting ready to start the church. He is getting ready to begin it. I believe here in Matthew chapter 4, you see the beginning of the first church. He is calling his disciples together. What is the definition of a church? It is a called out assembly. And that is exactly what he was doing. He was calling these first 12 men out to help him reach people and to begin a church. You have to understand something. The church is not the temple. We have a lot of religion that is stuck in what Jesus preached against. The church has nothing to do with the temple. He came to fulfill the temple. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? See, all the things in the temple were prophetic of what Jesus would do when he came. He said, I fulfilled them. By the way, that was the religious people that got mad at him because he said, I'll destroy the temple in three days, raise it up again. He said, look, this took us decades to build. You can't do that. That's heresy. He said, I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about my body. And we're supposed to be part of the church, not the temple. Amen. Now, he comes down from this mountain towards the Sea of Galilee, and he sees Andrew and Peter. He sees James and John. These are four men who are professional fishermen. They have their own fishing businesses. James and John work for their dad, Zebedee. Andrew and Peter had their own business, their own ship. And they use nets to catch fish. Now, listen to this very carefully here. These weren't just little casting nets. These weren't like what you throw out, fellas, and get a bunch of minnows. These were nets that professional fishermen use, much like you would see hanging off those big trawler ships. You got these big 30, 40 foot long poles and big nets that would go down. That is much like where they would use the gill nets that are, you know, 100, 200 feet long. And they would pull those in full of fish. They didn't catch them with a pole and a line and a tackle box. These weren't your casual once every couple months go fishing kind of guys. This is how they made their living. Now, Jesus come, by the way, they weren't sissies. Have you ever been down to the docks and seen some of those fishermen? I don't think Jesus was what everybody pictures him to be. You say, why is that? Because ain't no real rugged man going to follow any guy with long hair that wiggles when he walks. Mm-mm. Number one, Jesus didn't have long hair. It would be a violation of the word of God. Number two, he didn't wiggle when he walked. He attracted rugged men. Matter of fact, he said, hey, fellas, I see that you're casting a net. I see that you're fishermen. How about you leave your business and follow me, and I'll teach you to fish for men. Now think through this for a second. Four men leave their livelihood. They quit their business to follow this man named Jesus. Yes. We've got some business owners here in our church. Imagine somebody walking by say, Brother Scott, quit your business and follow me. Brother Mike, quit your business and follow me. And others in here. Now, wait a minute. You don't just quit your business and walk off and follow some stranger for no reason at all. But I want you to notice something. They knew a lot about catching fish. And they knew a lot about catching a lot of fish a lot of times. These were men that understood catching a lot of fish. Now listen to this. They wanted to be able to catch people for the Lord in a similar way. They wanted to be able to do something for eternity that was very similar to what they did in the fishing industry. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse number 24. And his fame, the speaking of Jesus, went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments. And those which were possessed of devils, that's children. actually, it's teenagers. And those which were lunatic, that's their parents. And those that had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great what? Multitudes of people. Now look at me. Jesus has these men because they understood dealing with a multitude of fish. They would understand a multitude of people like they would in the fishing industry with a multitude of fish. I want you to notice something. Go back to verse number 18 again. The last two lines there, it says, Andrew, his brother, casting a what? Net. It didn't say a line, did it? It says a net. Then he says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Verse number 20. And they straightway left their what? Nets. Huh. Look at verse number 26, the last few words. Mending their nets, he called them. Now, you have to understand something. These were men that did not fish one hook at a time. They would have these huge nets. They were used to catching a lot of fish all the time. Now, Jesus wants us to use a net to reach people with the gospel. Too many churches are angling and using a line and a pole, trying to get one at a time. Jesus said, fellas, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I want us to get the word out to the multitudes, not just throw a line in and wait for some hungry fish to come by. You know, when you use a net, you don't use bait. Jesus didn't start the church with men who casually would take a few hours off and take a fishing pole and a tackle box and a little bit of bait, put a hook in the water and wait for some hungry fish to swim by. These were men that understood using a net and a lot of work and a lot of backbreaking work, bent over the side of a ship, hauling things in and casting nets back out and picking them back up and taking the fish out of the net, fixing the nets when they're broken, untangling them, etc., etc., etc. In other words, Jesus wanted men who understood how to reach the multitudes to help with the church. Did you know when you fish with a line, you're kind of fishing for a certain type of fish? How many of you have ever gone bass fishing before? Okay. You don't use the same bait for those that you do if you're just catching bluegills or sunnies or crappies. That's right. Different baits. If you go catfishing, you don't use the same bait that you use for fishing for bass. Catfish can't catch up to it. He's too slow and too stupid. He's sucking things off the bottom. So you use different baits for different types of fish. When you throw a net, you're catching everything. You catch the big ones, the little ones, doesn't matter what color, what kind, you're going to catch anything gets in that net. That's exactly what Jesus wants the church to do.
Yes, sir.
To catch them all. Now, here's the announcement that you've been waiting for. Grace Baptist Church has been asked to participate in a program that is going to be nationwide the week of April 10 through 17. There are a bunch of independent fundamental Baptist churches that are being challenged in those 8 days to what they call Fill America with the Gospel. We've been asked to participate. What is that? Well, it started with a few churches in Michigan. And they decided to take several weeks and do this in the state of Michigan. It started reviving some churches, and they just want to make it nationwide. And what we're to do in those 8 days is to see how many gospel tracts and how many presentations of the gospel we can put in people's hands in those 8 days. May I say something? That's something that I want to get involved in. Don't get mad at me. I've already told them we're going to pass out and hand out 7,500 tracts minimum that week. That means we're going to have to cast a net. This isn't going to be, you get a line, I'll get a pole, honey. This is, you get a net, I'll get a net, and let's go find big old ocean to fish in, amen. the denominationalists will call it Holy Week, and we're going to put the holy in Holy Week. Our job is to get the gospel to every creature. God did not say that everybody that we talk to is going to receive the gospel and get saved. What they do with it is not my responsibility. My responsibility, your responsibility, is to get the gospel out. Well, may I say something? It's time for us to start throwing some nets. Too many churches are dabbling with a hook, a line, and a bobber waiting for something to happen. How many of you have ever been fishing and fished all day and didn't catch anything? Yeah. That's the way. That's why most churches are dead. They're not throwing a net, they're throwing a line. And in these 8 days coming up, we're going to throw some lines out. Throw out the lifeline. Amen. We're going to get the gospel to as many people as we can. Now, it's time to fish with a net, not with a line. I'm going to need you to think bigger than you've ever thought before. For some of you, just getting you to think would be helpful, but I want us to reach people as families. Now, I'm going to make this statement. I'm going to use the word families. You can work together as a family. So, well, preacher, I don't have any family that comes to church. Well, if two or three or four of you ladies want to go together and form a family, let's do it for this contest and work together. I'm going to throw a couple prizes out there, a couple things. If we reach our goal of 7,500 people or 7,500 tracts going out, then on Sunday night, April 18th, we're going to have a big party after church. I'll cut my sermon a little bit. I'm not going to not preach, but we'll have pizza and all kinds of ice cream and everything else back here. We'll just have a good time back there. Baptists know how to bring food. Trust me, we'll have plenty to eat. To the family who passes out the most gospel tracts, you'll have to have 500 tracts out that week to qualify. I'm going to give you a $500 travel voucher for you to take a family vacation this year. I can even help you schedule something, and we have the wherewithal to do that. I thought about trying to make it and pre-do it, but some of you might not be able to work your schedules out and things. If it works out, my wife and I may even host that trip for you and with you, but we'll see how that goes. But you got to have at least 500 gospel tracts out to even qualify for that. Then, to the person who has the second, or family that has the second highest, I thought about giving you $100 cash, but something even better than that, I'm going to give you a $100 gift card to for gasoline. For some of you, that's one fill up, but that's one you don't have to pay for, amen. I thought in these days that might be a very appropriate type thing for us to do. And let me say something here. I'm not even going to know how many have gone out until I announce it in church that Sunday night, the 18th. We're going to have things for you to fill out and turn in as you're doing tracks and things. You can turn them into Mrs. Barnes. She's going to be the only human being that knows what the total is, and she's been sworn that she's going to get fired if she tells anybody, including her own family. Say why? Because nobody's going to know what it is except one person. It'll be in a sealed envelope, and I'll read it in church that Sunday night. I'm not going to know what the total is. Say, well, preacher, are we having the party if we don't have the number? No. I won't know if we're having a party or not then. But we're going to have everything ready just in case, and we'll have the wherewithal to do that. But I need everybody to participate. Now think through this for just a second. If 50 people passed out 150 tracts in 8 days, that's 7,500. That's not a lot. I'm going to give you some ideas here in just a little bit, so hang on, all right? But I'll mention this again. There's a lot of big churches out there that won't come close to passing out what we're doing. I told two pastors what my goal was, and they have churches that are running 1,000 or more. They said, okay, that embarrasses me. We didn't have a goal that big. And I said, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I'm just telling you what we're going to do. I'll be honest with you. My personal goal is for our church to see 10,000 tracts out or more. Everybody doing all right? Now, a family is 2 to 6 people. Now, if you want to do it by yourself and take the trip by yourself, go for it. Doesn't bother me a bit. But if you want to join up with somebody and work together with somebody, I'm for it. It doesn't bother me. May I say something? How about we become fishers of men and let's use a net? How about we just decide we're going to take the net and cast the net? I'm not asking you to necessarily even talk and present an entire plan of salvation to somebody. I'm talking about you walk up to somebody and while you're at the store or standing at the Walmart door, you say, here, have one of these. It's invitation church. It shows you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, and grab another one and get to the next person. That's all you have to say. Is all it is an invitation to Grace Baptist Church and an invitation for them to read to know how they can know for sure they're going to heaven. That's all you got to say. You go, well, preacher, what if they say no? There's somebody else coming behind them. Give it to the next one. Amen. Jesus said, shake the dust off your shoes and go somewhere where they listen to you. Now, everybody doing all right? How do we fish for men with a net? Some of you ladies wished you wouldn't have gone fishing because you caught a sucker. But what did Jesus mean by fishing for men? How does it affect us? How does it affect our church? Let's look at it a little more closely here, and I'll help you. And I'm going to be giving you some ideas. By the way, we'll be using our new gospel tracts. They're in. We'll be using these new ones. You'll get them starting next Sunday. They look just like this. They have the new picture on them. They look just a little bit different than they used to look. Not much. And it's got that little fancy doojigger on there, the QR code. Ha ha. Found out what that thing was. I don't know how to do it, but I know what it is. But it's got a QR code on there. The younger people know what it means. You click on it and go straight to our website and different things. So those are on there. We're going to start using those, and I'm excited about it. Now, first of all, nets catch all sizes and all kinds of fish. A net is indiscriminate. That means this. You drop a net, and anything that thing comes in contact with, it's going to catch. Isn't that what God means in Romans chapter 10, verse number 13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't whosoever sound like anybody? Does it mean just certain kind of people? No. Whosoever will may come. Isn't that what Mark chapter 16, verse number 15 says? That we are to get the gospel to every creature. I believe that God wants us to get the gospel out to every human possible that we can. May I say something? Everybody look at me, and I mean this as sincerely as I know how to say this. You can't give the gospel to the wrong person.
Amen.
See, well, I know people, and that person's not going to listen to me. You forgot to factor one thing in, God. God. Man, I've knocked on over 1 million doors in my life. I've knocked on doors, saw a professional man come to the door thinking, now this guy's going to listen to me and get saved. Usually he's the first one to slam the door in my face. I've knocked on doors, seen a guy coming out, looked like he just walked out of a biker bar. Long hair, scraggly looking beard. Tattoos everywhere, chain on the belt, you know. Looks like he got in a fight with a pop rivet gun and got things stuck everywhere. And you're thinking, man, this guy eats ice picks for breakfast. There's no way this guy's going to listen to me. And you know, he's the first person in that you talk to. He'll listen to it. Tears running down his face. Bow his head and trust Jesus Christ as a Savior. You see, we have a way of thinking we know more than God does. It's not my responsibility to figure out how they're going to receive it. It's my responsibility as a child of God to get the gospel to every creature. It doesn't matter how they're dressed, how they look, whether they go to our church, somebody else's church, or whether they don't go to church at all, whether they believe in God or don't believe in God. I'm supposed to get them the gospel. You can't give the gospel to the wrong person. Isn't that what 2 Peter 3:9 is all about? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, red and yellow, black and white, big, tall, skinny, short, fat, smart, dumb, it doesn't matter. God says give the gospel to everybody. That means children. That means teenagers. That's the dumb and the lunatic. That means to college-age people. That's the dumber. And so on. You see, only anglers go after certain kinds or sizes of fish. Listen to me very carefully here. I'm not going to name names yet. But there are churches who angle to catch the fish that have money in their mouth. They're trying to get the ones that are the big money fish. They're not worried about the little fish. They're not worried about the medium-sized fish. They're not worried about the old or the young. They want a certain fish that's going to bring money into the church. May I say that's wicked as the stinking devil? Amen. That's not what Jesus said. He said, cast the nets. Amen. Fellas, follow me and I'll show you how to fish for men. And you know that because you know how to throw a net. And when you throw a net, you're going to get shrimp. You're going to get jellyfish. You're going to get big fish, small fish, fat fish and skinny fish. You're going to get them all. You're going to get all kinds of colored fish. Can I say something? I don't give a rip what color somebody's skin is. They need the gospel. It does not matter. There are churches. Okay, now I'm going to get in trouble for sure. These churches that are angling churches and not net churches, can I tell you what they do? They take a survey. Let's go out and ask them 40 questions. Then we'll bring those back and somebody sitting in an office will go through them. And then we'll find from there who we think is the most responsive. And then we'll go back and get the gospel to them. Again, that's some human being playing God. If you got time to go out and ask questions, just ask them this one question. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? If not, let me give you this and let me show you what God says. Well, how do I know how receptive they'll be? It's not my job to play God. My job is to get the gospel to every creature, not make sure everyone I talk to is going to get saved. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. I'm enjoying this. The churches that believe, well, let's just live the right way and the right people will come and they'll want to get what we have. Did you ever notice the pastor doesn't get up and put his check in the offering plate and say, now y'all give the way you saw me give. They take an offering. Some of those churches take 2, 3, 4, 5 till they let you out of church. Oh, they believe in people coming to the church by how you live, but they don't believe in taking an offering the same way. Well, I'll just give and they'll see the smile on my face and they'll just want to give. Yeah, right. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. I get a little tired of these churches that, they go to another church. Did you ever notice where Jesus went and preached? Go back to verse number 23. Actually, verse number 22. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their what? Synagogues. Huh? Preaching the gospel in the kingdom of God. He was going to other churches, preaching, getting their church members, getting them saved and getting them out of their synagogue to go to the church. Everybody doing all right? You think I'm rough. Man, I remember first Pentecost Sunday Brother Hiles had. He wanted to have 3,000 people saved in one day. We thought he was nuts. We were scheduling outdoor meetings all over the place. We were having get everybody a can. We were all over the church area. I was working like a dog, we were going to set up about 5 or 6 preaching meetings on Sunday afternoon. And we were in Harvey, Dixmoor, Illinois area. I remember, man, we'd been passing flyers out that on Sunday at this time in this area, at this empty lot, we're having a preaching service. We'll give some gifts away. Come to it. And I was a college student. I was leading a group of college guys. There was about 15, 20 of us, and we were trying to see 1,000 people get saved. I had never done an outdoor meeting in my life. And we happened to be in an area that was predominantly black. It was just the area that we were given. It doesn't matter to me. Again, I don't care what color. I'm colorblind. It doesn't matter. But I remember we were passing flyers out, and we were getting people gathered up, and I was coming by this church, and one of the people in the church stepped out and said, "Are y'all the ones having the service down the road?" I said, "Uh-huh." They said, "Come on in." Okay. The preacher wants to meet you. I thought, oh no, I'm going to get cussed out in front of the whole church. Me and this other guy, we walk into this church, and I promise you, we were the only white people there. And there must have been 125, 130 people crammed into this church room. And the guy said, "Is that the folks having the service?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "When's it start?" And I said, "About 10 minutes. He said, "All right. God bless our church. Amen. Everybody follow that guy down to the meeting." Brother Andy, I'm scratching my head. I'm not lying. This is honest God's truth. Cross my heart and hope Brother Josh dies. We started preaching. The pastor came forward, got saved. The pastor's wife came forward, got saved. I don't know how many people in that church came forward and got saved at that church meeting. I got, Brother Hiles got letters from that church saying how that the meeting we had transformed their church. That the pastor had to have somebody come baptize him in his own church because he first found out that he got saved. He started changing his doctrine to preach salvation the right way. Now, I didn't go knock on that door, let me tell you. But God can do things like that, can he? Say, what was that? We were using a net, not a line. I'm not saying go to all these churches and start passing out gospel tracts. If you do, take the ones that don't have my picture on, please. When I was a teenager, I got real aggressive. I went down to the local Catholic church and I taped gospel tracts all over the statue of Mother Mary. It didn't bother me. I was at home one afternoon and my mom said, "Yes, sir, yes, sir. Hey," she said, "the preacher wants to talk to you." Now, my pastor was 6'4", 235 pounds. He was a giant of a man to a guy that was, 5'6" and weighed 100 pounds with bananas in my pocket. I got on the phone. He said, "Craig, this is the pastor." "Yes, sir." He said, "Were you the one that put the gospel tracts down at Central Catholic Church on the statue of Mother Mary?" "Yeah." I was a junior high school kid, didn't have any sense. He said, "Son, I appreciate your enthusiasm, but do me a favor. Next time, don't use the ones that have my picture and our church name on it." I just spent 10 minutes getting chewed out by the local priest. I said, "Oops." He didn't tell me not to do it anymore, just don't use the ones with his name and picture. So I understand, all right, been there. But I was casting a net, amen. I was chumming the water. Maybe we just ought to come outside of ourselves and just decide we're going to get the gospel to every creature we can. Drop a net anywhere you can and catch as many as you can. That's all God's asking us to do. Do you think when you drop a net, you catch every fish in the lake or ocean? No. So, first of all, a net catches all sizes and all kinds. Number two, a net catches as many as possible at a time. That means this. You have to go where the fish are. You know, the best way to get a lot of tracks out is go where there's a lot of people. I know that's hard to figure out. God wants us getting every person we can and getting the gospel to them. Isn't that what Acts chapter 1, verse number 8 is about? But ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. But I want you to know something. You have to go to where the people are. If you go to a park and there's nobody there, you're not going to pass out many gospel tracts. Well, there's birds out there and there's rabbits and, you know, you got the occasional skunk or whatever, but God's happy with each person that gets the gospel. But I think he's more pleased when a lot of people get the gospel. Does that not make sense? I believe God's pleased when one person hears the gospel. But I think if 7,500 people heard it, God would be 7,500 times more happy. Does it just not make sense that we ought to go then where the people are? I'm going to make a statement, and I mean this with every fiber of my body. This is not a numbers thing. This is a keeping people out of hell thing. This isn't about numbers. Oh, I know what my critics say. Well, you're just all about numbers. Numbers, numbers, numbers. Well, God put a book of the Bible named that. God counted people. Numbers are important to God, but this isn't about numbers. This is about percentages. Amen. You know, the more times you get the gospel out, the more chance you have of seeing somebody get saved. And I'm not even asking you to stop in the park and gather a group of people and preach to them. Now, if you want to, go for it. But I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just asking you to go to places where people are and give them a gospel tract. That's being a witness. How can we get the gospel out by net? Listen to this very carefully here. Go to the stores. How many people do you pass in the grocery store? I'll promise you, one trip to the grocery store, you can get rid of 50 tracts. Minimum. Stand in the parking lot, you could pass out 100 tracts in 20 minutes. I'll guarantee you there's 100 people going into any grocery store you talk about. Aldi's, Wise, Weis, whatever you call it. Phonetically, it's Weis, but they don't say it the right way. Whatever store you go to, good night. I could pass out that many in front of any store in the Martinsburg area. Kearneysville, Ranson. Go to Petco, you could pass out that many. Everybody doing okay? What's wrong with going to the hospital and standing out in front of the front door, passing out gospel tracts, people going in and out of the hospital? Look how full the hospital parking lots are. Think of how many tracts you could get out. Now, with COVID and everything, you can't go room to room much anymore. There was a day, good night, I'd run up and down the halls, passing out gospel tracts. Didn't bother me a bit. Go to the emergency room. The emergency waiting room's probably got 20, 30, 40 people in there. Start passing out gospel tracts. What about shift change at some of the shops and industries around here? Good night, you go to Macy's, there's hundreds of people that work every shift there. Quad Graphics. You got Rockwell down here. You got Procter & Gamble. You can go outside the property just passing out gospel tracts. Go to Sheets, passing out gospel tracts. Good night, Miss Kathy. She tapes them on the pump everywhere. If I go to the Sheets down here, guarantee there's every pump's got a track on it. She's working the pumps while Harry's paying for the fuel. Sports venues. Good night. There's high school basketball games, there's baseball games, whatever, pass them out. Stand outside Shepherd College or go to Blue Ridge and pass them out as people going in and out. God knows Shepherd needs it more than anybody. Sodomite City. Give it to your kids and let them pass them out in the schools. Well, they're not allowed. Yes, they are. There's not a rule in anywhere in America saying they can't pass a gospel tract out in school. Not a rule anywhere in America that they can't take their Bible to school. They want you to think that, but there's not a rule anywhere, there's not a law anywhere forbidding it. Well, separation of church and state. They can talk about, your president can want them to be able to change their gender and pay for it without parents knowing the bill he's trying to sign right now. And I can't pass out a gospel tract? Drop dead, dude. They can't stop you from passing out gospel tracts. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. I'm talking about go door to door. Pass them out in your neighborhood. Pass them out in somebody else's neighborhood. Go to Stonebridge and make them mad. Make them call me. I get a phone call every time somebody goes soul winning somewhere in Stonebridge. Somebody gets mad. You know what? I don't care. I'll answer the phone call. We have a rule. That rule's for your HOA. I'm not part of your HOA. Your HOA doesn't include the law. Just so you know. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. How many people sit in the restaurants where you eat?
Amen.
Good night. I could pass out 50 tracts at any restaurant in the world I go to. Stand outside the door and pass them out. Good night. Go to the drive-thru at McDonald's and just pass them out just, you know, after they order. Captive audience. They've already paid for it. Good night. Go downtown. Go into the downtown district. There's people walking everywhere. Just start passing them out. Go to the rest stops. Got a couple truck stops. Got one in Falling Waters and one down here below Inwood. Man, there's people going in and out to use the faculties everywhere. Man, you spend 30 minutes at a truck stop, I'll guarantee you'll pass out quite a few of those things. Gas stations, parks, playgrounds, go to the bowling alley. Good night, you go to the bowling alley and pass out 200 gospel tracts anytime you go. So all you got to do is walk person to person. Here you go, 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 here you go. Good night. It won't take you very long at all to pass out a whole bunch of gospel tracts. If only 50 people passed out 150 tracts in 8 days, that's only 20 tracts a day. We would reach 7,500 gospel tracts that quick. It's not that hard. I'd like to see us hit 10, 15, 20,000. I've got them. Don't worry. I had to order a few extra this week, but we've got them. They'll be here this week. I have 10,000 tracts, Mrs. Diener, Mrs. Shoebridge, and Mrs. Myers stacked them in 50s and rubber banded them. They're all ready to go in stacks of 50. They did 10,000 gospel tracts this week for us. They're ready to go. Say why? Because I just plan on throwing the net everywhere we can throw it. May I say something? I can't do it all myself. I can't expect Brother Josh to do it all himself. God didn't say just for us to get the gospel out. He said it's every Christian's responsibility. That means whether you come occasionally or you come all the time, I believe you ought to take some gospel tracts with you and get them out that week. And we're not going to pass them out this week. You got to come next Sunday to get them. I'm for you passing them out this week, but they don't count towards the competition till starting next Sunday. Next Sunday through Sunday, through Resurrection Sunday, we're going to see what God can do. We're going to put the holy back in Holy Week. We're going to put the gospel in it and get the gospel to every creature. Now, I'm for it if it helps build the church, but it's not about building the church. It's about obeying God and getting the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
Now, listen to me very carefully here. We have the net. We have the gospel net. So let's cast it as many times and as many people as we can. I have them bundled. I have them ready. If you took 30 minutes a day, you spent 30 minutes a day in those 8 days. That's 4 hours. I wonder how many tracts you and your family could pass out. I'm not saying you have to come to this area. Some of you live in Maryland, pass them out in Maryland. Some of you live in Virginia, pass them out down there. Some of you work in Rockville and D.C. and all those places. I don't care where you pass them. Just get them out everywhere you go. Good night. Joe and Ashley, they got the farmer's market down there. They got thousands of people down there. Go for it. Yeah. She's passing them out every chance she gets. I don't care where you pass them out. You can't get the gospel to the wrong person.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? If you and your family took 30 minutes a day, imagine how many tracks you could get out. I'm not asking you to spend hours and hours and hours and hours and 12 hours a day for that entire week. I'm asking you, would you give God 30 minutes a day to pass out gospel tracts? Maybe you say, well, I can give an hour this day and an hour this day and maybe an hour this day. Okay, that's 3 hours. I'll take 3 hours over none. Maybe you can only give 30 minutes a couple times. Hey, go for it. How many do you think you could get passed out? Next Sunday, you'll be able to take bundles of them. They'll be available here at the church all through the week to be able to get more. And as you pass out a bundle, that's 50. You just keep count of it, and we'll have a little thing for you to fill out, and you can fill it out and turn it in. You say, why, preacher? Because I believe that we could set the pace for a whole bunch of people around America and show them how it's supposed to be done. May I say something? We have no chance of catching if we don't put the net in the water. If you never put the net in the water, what chance do the people have? Using a net will require much work. It's not leisure fishing. It's not good to go out and relax. It's to go out and catch food for somebody. It's to keep somebody out of hell. Jesus didn't say toss a line and wait for something to bite y'all's line. Let's go drown some worms and wait. Oh, no. He said, I go fishing. I'm going to go catch something. Now, I don't mind fishing if you're going to catch something, but, man, fishing when you don't catch something is pretty boring. May I say something? Every track you give out, you're fishing and catching. You have no idea where it's going to go and what it's going to end up doing. None whatsoever. By the way, hello, we can't count on others to do it. God said, Matthew 28, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He said in Mark 16, go ye. Not just go me, but go ye. This is to every Christian. Now listen to this very carefully here. There's no bait. When you throw a net, you don't need bait. You just got to toss it out there. I'm going to be doing it. I have a goal personally of how many I'm going to pass out. I'm going to start while I'm in Georgia. I'm going to start all the way up 20, 77, 81 on my way back. I'll be passing them out between here and Georgia. Say why? Because I plan on taking the challenge too. But what about you? I'm not asking you to preach to crowds. I'm not asking you to do something unreasonable. I'm asking that during the days of April 10th through the 17th, that we get the gospel to as many people as we possibly can. I'm going to say something. I do not mean this to be critical. Please don't take it critically. But I want you to see the challenge. This was started by over 100 churches in Michigan. 100 plus churches for 4 weeks decided they were going to see what they could do. 100 churches for 4 weeks, they passed out 75,000 tracts. That's all. Now that's a lot. And I thank God for 75,000 people getting the gospel. Don't get me wrong. But that's 75,000 in a month with 100 churches working together. Can you imagine if 1,000 churches passed out 7,500 gospel tracts? That's 750,000 people getting the gospel. If 1,000 churches passed out 10,000 gospel tracts, that's 1,000,000 people getting the gospel in 1 week in America. I think it could be done. The pastor who contacted me, I said, here's our goal. He said, that's a pretty lofty goal. I said, no, that's a low goal. This is my personal goal. He said, well, I have a goal of passing out 100 myself. I have a bigger goal than 100 a day. Say why? If we're going to do it, let's cast a net, not a line. Everybody doing okay? I believe we can do far more than 7,500. I really do. I believe if each and every family would do their part, take a little bit of time, get the gospel out, it would be amazing what God could do. You say, preacher, I'm not real good about talking to people. You don't even have to talk to people. Just shove it in the face. I'm not asking you to say a whole bunch of words. Just grab a stack of tracts and pass them out and say, here you go, here you go, here you go, here you go, here you go. Somebody stops you along the way, say, yeah, you can call that number and talk to my preacher. He'll talk to you. Won't bother me a bit. Not a bit. Say, well, who do I give them to? Anybody you can. You can even give it to liberals. They need it more than anybody. I believe we could do far more. Let me ask you a question. Aren't you tired of Christianity that throws the casual line out there and just waits? How about we do what Jesus said and say, fellas, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they were used to catching them by the multitudes. They were used to using a net. Well, bless God, we got the gospel net called the gospel track, and we're going to see how many we can get out. Now, it starts next Sunday. I won't be here. He will. So if it fails, it's his fault. No, it's not. But I need you to decide you're going to jump in. But let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure you're saved? If not, you could know that for sure. If you're saved, many, 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 every person in this room can hand out gospel tracts. There's not a person in this room. If you have children in junior church, what a way to teach them. Man, take them with you. Grumpy old people will take something from a cute kid. Trust me. They don't look at little kids and say, no, they'll be kind to them. It's us ugly adults that have the problems. Man, get your kids involved in it. I'd rather have my kids involved in getting gospel tracts out than getting money for the public school. I really would. I'd rather, by the way, you get them used to it when they're little. When they get our age, they're not afraid of doing it. Maybe we just ought to decide we're going to take a week and do everything we can for the Lord and see what God can do. Let me ask you a question. Are you going to fish with a line? Going to fish with a net? Some of you aren't, haven't ever gone fishing. Let me invite you as Jesus did. Let's go fishing. Let's fish his way and catch a whole bunch. You say, well, some of them might be crazy, preacher. Jesus reached the lunatics. Look around. We're a hospital. He helped with the sick. Isn't that what it's all about? Doesn't matter how big, how little, who they are, what color, what kind. It doesn't matter. Just get them. Get the gospel to every creature. Maybe we ought to decide we're going to go fishing God's way. Let's go fishing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I believe this could spark you and your family, help you. I believe it'll help our church. I believe it'll help this area. But more importantly, it's going to help God. How about we quit worrying about what the end result is and just be willing to obey? Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I know for sure I'm saved. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. I believe virtually every hand. If you've never trusted Jesus, you come forward, we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Who'd say, preacher, and I'm not going to hold you to this, but I wonder how many in this room would say, preacher, I'm going to take the challenge and I'm going to get at least some gospel tracts out that week, but I'll do my best. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, 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 almost every hand. Thank you. You may put them down. How about we take that challenge? How about we decide we're going to use a net? not just a line. Step beyond what you're used to. See how much you can actually do.